Boyd County Board of Supervisors, on April 30th, 2019, are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Last Friday, I attended a secret training, which is state election officials administrative training. And they discussed some of the new legislation that's going through and was still waiting to go through, waiting for the governor to sign. And some of that is they're cutting back the number of dates to allow special elections. And they're going to do the IMB, which is the intelligent mail barcode for absentee ballots. They're going to require that by October of 2020. So that's going to be another cost to us to set that up with post office. So we can tell exactly when the ballot was dropped into the post office, so we can determine whether we can accept it after the date, after the election date. And we discussed how to bill for the combined city and school elections, which is going to be a big headache trying to figure that one out, because we're going to have so many different entities involved in that. And just all kinds of interesting information.
Will they be able to put all that on one ballot, or are you going to have more than one ballot?
It might be a front and back, depending if there's any questions added for any of the entities, like the city or the school. If they do a question or a public measure or anything like that, then, you know, it could be a two-sided ballot, just like what some of our general election ones are, so. And, of course, the polls have to be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on those days, so.
That's good.
Anyway, and that they tried to get it changed so that the general election would close at 8 o'clock, but they didn't get that done, so.
Will the Russians be able to meddle with it?
They shouldn't be able to, because ours aren't even hooked up to the internet, because we have a standalone computer for elections. We do everything through that, so hopefully not.
Thanks, Terry. One of us is under serious time constraints, so Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a sentencing. I have to be to in a few minutes as soon as I get the defendant here. We're staying busy, have a murder trial that's beginning tomorrow. It's the Kaylee Wilson case, the young lady who's accused of killing the other young lady. She's gone to a bench trial, so we had an extra day of preparation that apparently the judges are filling up quickly. Staying busy, Todd has a jury trial next week on the child neglect case out of West Burlington that resulted in a death, so he'll be pretty busy prepping for that this week. Potential new hire will be visiting toward the end of the week, and hopefully maybe we'll be able to tender a formal offer by the end of the week. Hopefully I'll be out of trial in time to actually meet the guy, which would be nice before we would hire him. But staying busy, watching the water rise, and hoping we stay dry.
Thank you, Lisa. Rodney Weiser, maintenance.
Good morning. Nothing new to report.
Zach, how are things with land use? Caught you surprised.
I'm doing all right. I was prepared. I've been here a while, so I had to make some notes and prepare myself for that. But things are going well. We've got a couple subdivisions that I actually just dropped off a packet for review. Working with the Wildlife Lakes on a full subdivision out there for, I can't remember which edition it is now, but on another edition out there. And other than that, not a whole lot else. I did actually get something in the mail the other day. I haven't looked at it yet, but we did get something from FEMA about their review period for the updated floodplain maps. So I need to read through that and see. There's another review period that for some comments.
I'll touch on that during correspondence.
Okay. Other than that, nothing else to do before.
Thanks, Zach. Yeah. Brian, secondary roads.
Good morning. A few things.
Mediapolis Road, Sperry, those were separate projects, but they all kind of got done at the same time, so the asphalt is wrapped up on those. And the shouldering is done. In fact, I think they might be done with mostly with material, whether it be intersections, driveways, whatever it is. I think they got done with that yesterday. So there is still some work. There's still some rumble strips to put in. There's pavement markings to get done. Smaller stuff, but there is still some stuff to come along. But the major work as far as most, you know, day-long lane closure kind of stuff, that's mostly done. So if I mention that, I was contacted. Lee County may be a little thin in the next month or so at some point about on for manpower, so we may loan out an inspector to help out down there if our workload here allows. So I wanted to mention that. The counties generally help each other out, and we'll do that for them. And they'll pay for any overtime or anything like that were to come up. So just, I guess, also to mention. Mississippi River, obviously, that's, people are paying attention to it. It's coming up. I would expect Tama Road to be closed today. We had an insurance meeting at our shop first thing this morning, so we decided to let local traffic sneak through there this morning, but I do believe it's up past Centerline now. So I would expect it'll go closed. Give you a heads up, because that leaves gravel roads as options, and obviously that one that cuts across by the water plant's one that everybody doesn't like, but they also still use. It's probably holding as much water as Tama right now for its drainage issues, but it is what it is, and guys will take care of it as they can, but it's going to be a pretty wet week from the forecast. But we are going to close Tama. Sounds like it's going to be closed for a while from some of the river stages they're talking about. I also would mention, hopefully it doesn't come to this, we'll keep a close eye on it, but there is a river stage, and I actually have the surveyor working on it today, but somewhere up in the, I want to say 22.5 to 23.5 range, and it's been since 2008, so we have the data, but it's buried in our files, so we're digging all that up. But there will be a river stage that Mississippi will ultimately come over top of Highway 99. Hopefully we don't get there. I think that'd be good for everybody, not just because of 99, but because of other issues elsewhere. But we're not there right now, but depending on what happens with the crest and everything else, there is that potential sometime. It sounds like in the next week that we'll keep a close eye on 99. There is a low spot up, I believe it's up near the intersection of Tama Road, where it will actually back up and go over top of that. So, like I said, we'll keep an eye, and same thing, we'll let traffic go as long as we can, even if we have to go down to a one-lane situation. But if it does get over Centerline, we'll close that, and people have to go up Golf Course Road and use a temporary detour that direction. So, obviously, with all the rain God and still coming, our gravel roads are soft. I mean, there's nothing there. There's really nothing to be done. There's no way we can do anything while they're this soft. We really, especially in the north end of our county, really never completely healed from the damage we had from this winter. We're still not necessarily out of those woods. We're better. We're far better than we were. But it's just something, if you spend some time on those, you may have to slow down for a while until we drive back out. Skunk River Road, we had started the very early stages of a pinch project down there. I call it more of a partial. We dissed the shoulders, and then the hydraulics went out on our motor grader. So it's sitting there, dissed up and stuff, but it's got a few people frustrated because sometimes when you disc it, it holds some water. Anyway, just a heads up that we're in the middle of a project. We couldn't do much anyway with this rain that's come along. So eventually we'll disc those up again, pull them all in, and get rock over top of it. We're kind of in the middle. It's not the first time we've gotten caught, and probably won't be the last time. And the last thing, Tom and I talked about this last week a little bit. I had talked previously about the, I guess I would call it the logging bill is kind of what we referred to it as. It's now, I believe, Senate File 629 is what it ultimately passed as. They've got different numbers in the House and the Senate. And anyway, from what I'm told, now they have modified it. So one of the big concerns we had was, it's amazing how a bill from beginning to end can change so completely, and you don't know it until you see it. But it has passed the House and the Senate, from what I understand. So that means it's going to be sitting on the governor's desk at some point. They did remove the 130,000 pounds out of it, but they increased the allowable maximum weight per axle on a truck. So there's also some language in there. I don't understand why they're trying to legislate things that don't need to be legislated, but I guess that's the age-old question. There's some language in there about a statewide permitting system. Not a lot of direction in it, so I don't have a lot of information on that. And they raised that axle limit, so that's heavier loading, no matter how you look at it. I did send Senator Green a thank you yesterday because he did vote against it. And the bill that passed is better than the bill that started, but it's just so gray, so many gray areas and unknowns that it's still an uncomfortable bill. So I give you a heads up, we'll see what's going on. And we're still gonna have to post some bridges because the bill they passed last year, allowing the heavier trucks to use from the different table that used to be used for interstate roads. So we'll sounds like we'll be posting some bridges this summer because of that bill. So anyway,
Brian made the best comment last week. He said, "Who thinks it's a good idea to allow heavier loads on a highway system that everybody already agrees is underfunded?"
Well, it's true. It seems to be right now, between last year and this year, it seems to be the desire of our legislature to allow heavier and heavier loads. I think it's a trend now. It's 2 years in a row that's happened. And I'll tell you, if you want to watch a gravel road or an old pavement go even faster, start letting them run heavier and heavier and heavier loads on it. So legally, not necessarily just as a single one time a year special situation, but possible daily repetitive type stuff. So I don't know. It took 20 years to get a gas tax increase for help on funding, and 1 year to help to allow heavier loads on the roads. So
they'll be back next year. One of the three sponsors of it was the AGC, the Association of General Contractors. I'm pretty sure they don't care about the logging industry.
Yeah.
They care about the construction industry.
So we'll see what creativity comes out of that. But either way, thought I'd mention those items and let us know if you have any people call about gravel roads and stuff, so we can get it passed on.
As long as they hold by a budget to no more than 2% growth.
incidentally, and
makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? With how they think or don't think.
Brian sent an email that I know he sent it to both you guys too, and asked for opinion, and I emailed you back. There was an individual, somebody from another county, I'm not going to mention names, but somebody from another county wanted to find out how fast his motorcycle would go. So he wanted us to shut down
Meeker's Landing
Road so that he could go out there. He's willing to pay for anywhere, the sheriff's or whatever the cost would be. And I know you weren't branched and wondered if
told him no, I wanted to make sure you guys were fine with me telling him
besides
no.
obvious liability issues. It's a really ugly precedent, and I think you've created an attractive nuisance because somebody else has done it. So I'm going to go out there and find out how fast my vehicle will go.
Yeah, he wants to.
A lot of people do.
Brett can just build a house there on the.
Yeah.
when he wants to go to work, he just goes out the front door.
Yeah, yeah, it was an interesting quest. I honestly thought it was a prank until he called last week and asked what the decision was. So,
well, we can talk about that. So, and I just said that to you, and I wanted these guys to.
I'm going to call the guy and tell him we're not interested, which is what I was going to do already. And then I decided to at least let you guys take a look at it. So if he decides to go ahead and call further, you guys are aware of it.
I'm going to stick to my original comment on Des Moines County does not have enough catastrophic insurance to cover.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So thank you on that.
Thanks, Brian. Chris, conservation.
Watching the water rise, I guess. It doesn't really matter a whole lot. But Scuff River hit 17 foot, which I think right now they're calling for it to hit just below 15. Our Maple Loop campground starts going underwater. That's our action safe. We'd have to close the gate anyway. We never did open the gates. We have no intention.
You said it's supposed to hit 17?
No, right now, last I checked, they were calling for it to be just below 15.
Okay.
But at 17 is where it's our action stage where we'd have to close that one anyway. It's closed anyhow because we haven't cleaned up from the last time it went underwater. It's just kind of fun that it's going to likely happen again. Mississippi's doing what Mississippi's doing. Right now, we're just preparing for an entire month's worth of events. We've got this coming weekend. We have dragon boats, which will bring, I don't know, 1,000 people to Big Hollow on the course of Saturday and Sunday. And on this same weekend, we've got this Becoming an Outdoors Woman workshop, which is a DNR-led event, but we're kind of helping co-host it. There's 85 women signed up for this. They move it around the state every year. Des Moines County got it this year. And so we'll have a bunch of people in our parks doing a whole bunch of different learning outdoor stuff, hunting, fishing, shooting, boating, kayaking, that type of stuff. So we're going to be all over the county doing that, helping out with that event. Next weekend is our Youth Jamboree, which will be on Saturday, May 11th. And so getting the final touches put together for that. That'll be another 1,000 people in Big Hollow Park. Weekend after that, the 18th, we don't actually have an event scheduled for, but we've sold out the weekend, I do believe. And then the weekend after that is Memorial Day, and which at Big Hollow sold out back in December. And we'll have people show up a week early just to get themselves a spot. And so right now we're trying to get in front of things. And get ready for all that because May is just a crazy month for us. So look forward to that. These events are awesome. We love having dragon boats coming out to Big Hollow, and I think this Becoming an Outdoors Woman event is really going to be neat. I think they said they had 85 registrants, so looking forward to that. And you know, it's a lot of work, logistics to deal with, and so a lot of that stuff going on behind the scenes, getting ready for all the stuff that's coming. We're looking at right now. Summer camp sign up just opened last night at midnight. And so I haven't checked to see where we're at, but I'm sure some of the camps are probably already filled. So if you want to get your kid in summer camp, better sign up now. It's all online. The links are on our Facebook page, on our website, all through there. So that's all done online. We don't have lines waiting out the door at the Nature Center like what we used to. So it's just lines waiting on the internet. I think that's about it.
Thanks, Chris. Colin, IT.
Just busy like always, but nothing really new to report, so.
Thank you. Janelle,
Good County Treasurer. We're getting ready to print a little over 1,500 notice of tax sale or delinquent notices. Actually, they were filling the printer up as I was walking up here, so that's about it.
Is that a lot or about normal, less or
yeah,
more?
It might be a little bit more than last year, but it's in the range of normal.
Thanks, Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, Sheriff's Office.
Not a lot. Got our new guys off to the academy that started yesterday. Graduation is August 16th. So,
where is he? Where do they hold that in Ankeny?
No. They shut down the regular academy. They had some carbon monoxide issues last winter. So they moved them on to the base there in Johnson at Camp Dodge. They've started something new until they get the construction done up there at the academy. The classes are going to be out at Westtown Parkway, where the Upper Iowa University kids go. And then they're housing them in their apartment complexes downtown somewhere. So it's going to be a little confusing for them until they get things figured out. But It's new to us too, so.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Angie, safety.
Good morning. I really don't have anything new for you guys. Like everyone else, kind of watching the river and seeing how it's going to affect the employees and what they have to get done. So that's about all I got for you.
Thanks. Crystal, local bells.
Good morning. We're keeping busy over the weekend. We had our DEA drug take back event. It was cold and wet and rainy, so we did have a little less traffic than we've had in the past, but we did still host the event. The measles continues to be in the news. We do have vaccine available at Public Health. Our clinics are from 1:30 to 4 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And there is a measles vaccine recommendation that they put out, and they say adults need one dose of MMR for the measles vaccine. If you were born before 1957, vaccination should not be needed. If you were vaccinated before 1968 with a killed virus, or you don't know what type of virus you received, talk to your healthcare provider about revaccination. So that's the latest recommendation that they put out for that. So,
go ahead.
Before 1957, they don't need it. Is there a reason? Did us people have a better vaccination or what?
You're probably exposed and probably had the measles. However, the other thing that they're saying, the caveat to that, is please check with your healthcare provider, because they may go ahead and recommend that you get revaccinated regardless. So definitely that's what they're saying. If you have any concern about the measles, to check with your physician, your healthcare provider.
Well, I had measles when I was younger.
Like everybody did, our generation.
Yes, and that's part of why they say you may not need vaccinated. But check again, if you're concerned, check with your healthcare provider.
What's the cause of the measles outbreak? Is it a failure of the vaccine, or is it failure of people to vaccinate their children and loss of herd immunity?
And you know, the cases we had here in Iowa, people that were not vaccinated and they traveled across seas, into another country. And I think the ones that they're seeing in other parts of the United States is due to not being vaccinated. So that's a good majority of them, is not being vaccinated.
Thank you, Krista. Did I miss anybody? No. Correspondence. Zach mentioned it. We got some correspondence from the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. The Department of Homeland Security's Federal Emergency Management Agency has issued a preliminary flood insurance rate map and, where applicable, flood insurance study report reflecting proposed flood hazard determinations within Des Moines County, Iowa, and incorporated areas. I'm not going to go through this. It's way too long to be read here. I guess this is if you live in an unincorporated area or anywhere you think you're in a floodplain, close to a floodplain, you should check that out. They're going to publish a notice of the proposed flood hazard determinations in the Federal Register, and they will publish a public notification concerning the appeal process in the Hawkeye on or about April 25th, 2019, and May 2nd, 2019. I guess I would just, and this will be on file in the auditor's office, I would encourage anybody that lives in a floodplain, close to a floodplain, think they might be in a floodplain, to explore this, because if you have not, I think isn't there a grandfather time period before that floodplain map is accepted that you could get flood insurance at the old rate, even if you do get put into a floodplain? Is that correct, Zach?
Yeah, there's some kind of stipulation like that. I don't remember exactly how it works, but I think in most cases here, we're probably going to see more people removed from a floodplain than added to, but yeah, there will be a few instances where people are probably.
So anyway, but if you think you might be able to get insurance cheaper now, so I would
just as a side note, FEMA, Iowa DNR, and Homeland Security were here this past summer. We had a public meeting where people could come and meet with those folks. We had, I don't remember how many people showed up. We had a decent crowd there, and we had had copies of the preliminary maps, and we sent out notices to those folks that would be impacted, so that they were aware of what was going on. And we had a lot of those people show up at that time. So
what's it say for Danville and their new school?
don't remember what it shows, but I believe it gets closer to the school, or might even, part of the school might even be in the book.
It shows part of the school ground.
Yeah, right by that parking lot there.
By the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then it showed that apartment house across the street and up to where.
Wrong stamp.
Where Gertis' house, one of Troy's house.
Yeah, the preliminary flood maps that they referenced there on the GIS site. So you can go out and view those and see if you're in or not.
Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
No.
Discussion vote. Approval of the Iowa Department of Transportation Agreement for Traffic Safety Improvement Program Funding, Iowa City Road. This would be Brian.
We've talked about this time and time again. This paperwork could have been here a long time ago, but I think the DOT was short on some personnel in that office, and so it took a while to get here. This project's scheduled for, this is the Iowa City Road project. This is the grant we applied for, which ultimately, it didn't pay for quite 100%. We didn't get 100% of what we applied for, but ultimately it'll allow us to put a little bit wider pavement down, and we'll put some rumble strips down the side of the road. So it's a safety grant. I would recommend approval.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
I believe it was $355,000 that we were awarded. Is that correct?
I'll find it. I have a copy here. We talked about it, and I think you applied for, what, 400 and something?
Something, yeah. Yep.
This is state, so if we stamp.
Yeah, you know, yes, yes. And it's $355,000 that we were awarded.
Personnel action for local health. We have a resignation of Casey Guerin, public health nurse.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Dewey Byer Trust was a farmer, Des Moines County farmer, that left some assets to the county for property tax relief. We get an annual check, and in March we got a check for $47,409.85. That's about 3 cents property tax relief, and the for information, the ending account value as of March 31st is $1,826,857.64. And like I said, the earnings on that go for property tax relief.
And we should all be at a rural basic.
Well,
I bet Dewey would agree with me.
And we have a commission on the report from the Commission on Veterans Affairs for April 2019. All of these reports will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes of the regular meeting of April 23rd, 2019.
Move to approve.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business? future agenda items. Well, I've got one. The Krista's given me some information, and Brian a little bit on the food permits for RagBrite. If somebody's wanting to have a food stand out in the county someplace, I would not be surprised if that happens. And I appreciate the time you both put into that, and I still don't have my head around it, so I would like to have a work session if we could. It doesn't, I don't think they can apply for those food permits, what, stay up to only 3 or 4 days before RagBrite.
3 days before.
We should probably have some sort of a procedure in effect, because I'm pretty sure Brian doesn't want somebody throwing up a watermelon stand alongside one of his roads in the right of way.
I'm acting for safety standpoint.
Yeah, but so, anyway, so maybe in the next, sometime in the next.
No, Greater Burlington's going to come and give a presentation and discuss RagBrite.
Are they?
I think they're on the, possibly on the agenda for next week.
That would be, tell you what, if.
So maybe they'll have more information for
you,
us.
If you two can make it next week, that would be great if you could, if they address that, they could address any questions you have. But I think I would not be surprised if something like that happens, that somebody decides they're going to sell some produce or balloons or who knows what.
Hopefully something fried.
Yeah, so do I. That's all I have. Committee reports.
And, I don't think I have any either.
I attended an emergency management meeting last week, and we approved the fiscal year 19 budget amendment. And the auditor and I had a phone meeting with Roger Schindel of Karosh to discuss the upcoming HIPAA training. That's all I have.
I did have a county dump meeting.
What? Bob is the is our representative to the
Des Moines County Sanitary
Landfill, and is a secured a position on the coveted landfill committee.
Yeah, we had a meeting to discuss the landfill itself with the neighbors out there. Our engineer was in and explained what they were doing and how it was progressing and the leaking and what have you, and it's very good shape.
Are they still hauling it to the water treatment plant, or is that new?
The leachate is going there, and they're discussing whether they could build a pipeline to West Burlington's.
Okay, so that evaporation system isn't working, or
they're not real proud of that,
aren't they? Okay.
No, and I don't understand that either. I know people who have evaporated ponds completely dry.
Is there any hope that they'll ever bring another recycling dumpster to these small communities?
That really isn't part of this committee, but their problem with those off-site dumpsters,
yeah,
is the amount of other trash that goes in them. In fact, one of them even had a deer, yeah, carcass in it.
That, car parts.
Well, it's just everything.
Deer?
Yeah. Poor deer. But gave me gap this week back.
If that comment's repeated, make sure you attribute it to somebody.
I expect no less from Daniel.
Oh!
Anyway, I wouldn't. They're hesitant even. You know, they tried to get with Chris to put a dumpster in there on one of his places. And, a lot of people like to have the dumpsters.
Yeah.
But
well, it's only one or two people that take advantage of it and hurts the other people.
That's right. It's like all Harvey said, can't have self-government without self-discipline.
Yep.
So we aren't smart enough to take care of ourselves, we lose some of that.
Public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board? Please stand up, give us your name and address for the record, and limit your comments to 2 minutes. Seeing no one rise, with an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.